On March 17th each year, many Americans celebrate St. Patrick's Day. Alas, in some cases, they celebrate by getting drunk that day. But the real St. Patrick was a strong Christian who brought the faith to Ireland. One historian, Thomas Cahill, wrote a classic book about the impact of St. Patrick and his movement, and that book was called How the Irish Saved Civilization. Meanwhile, there's a book by historian and best-selling author Bill Federer on the true faith of St. Patrick. This is Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb. And once again, my good friend, Bill Federer. That's his real first name is my good friend. Bill Federer joins us again. Bill, great to have you back on the program. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, Jerry. Great to be with you.
Okay, so tell us about your book about St. Patrick. I think it has a lot of great stuff, including the prayer of St. Patrick, otherwise known as the breastplate of St. Patrick.
Right. So it starts with China building the Great Wall of China. And around the 2nd century AD, 3rd century, they completed enough of it so that the Huns could no longer attack into China, and they turned westward, and it started a domino effect of displaced tribes across Central Asia that eventually spilled over the Roman borders. So Rome was, in a sense, being invaded by illegal immigrants, and these were the Visigoths and Ostrogoths and Lombards and Saxons and Jutes, and one of the tribes was called Vandals. That was actually the name of the tribe. And anyway, so Rome had to pull its legions back from the frontier settlements such as Britain, which had been Roman since Julius Caesar, somewhere around 45 BC. Well, once Britain had no soldiers, marauding bands began to raid and kidnap. And so Patrick was one of those that was kidnapped and taken to Ireland and sold to the Druids. The Druids were where we got Halloween from. They would cut off the heads of their enemies and stick them on pikes or poles around their little fortresses and use them for soccer balls and kick them around and even have shrunken heads that the Druids would hang from their belts. And pretty gory. So Patrick is a slave over there for 6 years. And then around 405 A.D., he has a dream and of the Lord telling him to escape. And so so he escapes Ireland. But this is what he wrote in his confession. Now, most people think, well, do we really have something written by Patrick? Well, his confession is actually considered genuine by historians. Later in life, after he did his great work of evangelizing Ireland, it's like people say, oh, I knew him when he was a kid and he told me he didn't believe in God. And so they were going to call him back to have a little sit down church investigation. And he refused to go. And he wrote his life story, which he did acknowledge that he did not know God. It wasn't until after he was a slave that he came to faith. And but he said, I'll send my confession in my place, but I'm not leaving. God called me to Ireland. And so in his confession, Patrick said, after I came to Ireland every day, I had to tend sheep. Many times a day I prayed. The love of God and his fear came over me more and more and strengthened me. My spirit was moved so that in a single day, I would say as many as 100 prayers and almost as many at night in the woods, in the mountains, before daylight, through snow, through frost. There, the Lord opened the sense of my unbelief that I might at last remember my sins, be converted to the Lord my God, who comforted me as a father would a son. And then he says, one night I heard in my sleep a voice saying to me, it is well that you fast. Soon you will go to your own country. And again, the voice said, see, your ship is ready. Anyway, he took flight, found a boat putting wolfhounds they had caught on a ship to take to Europe to sell as hunting dogs. And they said if the dogs would mind him, he could come along. The boat's in a storm, shipwrecked in Gaul, G-A-U-L, which is southern France. And then he would have been witnessing to the guy, and he said, well, if you're a real Christian, why don't you pray and have God have mercy on us? We don't have any food. So Patrick prays, and a bunch of pigs go across the road that they kill and eat. And then Patrick gets this sense that they're going to imprison him because he prays and they answer prayer. But he finally gets away from them, gets back to Britain, And he's there until he's 40 years old, and he has another dream calling him back to Ireland as a missionary. And so in his confession, he says, "In the depth of the night, I saw a man named Victoricus coming as if from Ireland with innumerable letters, and he gave one to me. And while I was reading, I thought I heard the voice of those near the Western Sea call out, 'Please, holy boy, come and walk among us again.' Their cry pierced to my very heart. I could read no more, so I awoke." Well, he took that as a call from God, very similar to the Apostle Paul having a dream of a guy in Macedonia calling him over. And he returns to Ireland with a half a dozen guys, and he goes directly into the den of the Druid chieftain. I mean, this is like going into an inner city neighborhood and going right into the drug dealer's den. And he preaches the gospel, and he preaches it in their own language, which he had learned when he had been a slave as a teenager. Now, as soon as it becomes clear that he's preaching a different religion, the Druid priests want to kill him. And the chieftain's not in a hurry to kill him because he's like, well, we don't get visitors that often, and he's not armed. So the chieftain ends up converting and giving him a plot of land that he builds his first church on. But the Druids don't give up easy. They try to kill him. He writes in his confession, "Daily I expect murder, fraud, captivity, but I fear none of these things because the promises of heaven. The merciful God often freed me from slavery and from 12 dangers in which my life was at stake, not to mention numerous plots." And he said, "God is my witness, who knows all things even before they come to pass, that he used to forewarn even me of many things by divine message." And he says, "I came to preach to the people of Ireland the gospel and to suffer insults from unbelievers. I am prepared to give my life without hesitation, most gladly for his cause, and it is there I wish to spend until I die." And now one of the stories that was popular was a Druid chieftain in this area would make everyone extinguish their fires and then bring a goat or some gift to the Druid priests, and they would get coals to relight their fire for the next year. Well, it happened to be the night before Easter, and Patrick goes to the highest hill and lights a bonfire. And all the people say to the chieftain, "What about that guy?" And so it's called the Hill of Slain, or the Contest at Tara, T-A-R-A. And the chieftain supposedly said, "If we do not extinguish this flame, it will sweep all over Ireland. The one historian was named Marucci, lived in the 600s, so two centuries after Patrick. And he said of this event, "The custom was that whoever lit a fire before the king on Easter's Eve would be put to death. Patrick lit the Paschal fire on the Hill of Slain. The people saw Patrick's fire throughout the plain. The king ordered 27 chariots to go up and seize Patrick. Seeing the impious heathen were about to attack, Patrick rose and said in a loud voice, 'May God come and scatter his enemies.' And by this disaster caused by Patrick's curse in the king's presence, 7 times 7 men fell." Now, whether they fell dead or not, it sort of reminds you of Elijah on the hill, was at Mount Carmel, and he's praying, and the king of Israel sends 50 men to get Elijah. And they said, "Oh, man of God, come down." He says, "If I am a man of God, may fire come down," and smites them. And so Patrick, now about 800 years after his death, a monk named Jocelyn writes the life and Acts of St. Patrick. And in this book, he lists lots of chapters of miracles, chapter 68, of his journey and of his manifold miracles, and chapter 69, a sick man cured, and chapter 71, the dead are raised up, the king and the people are converted, chapter 78, 19 men raised by St. Patrick from the dead. Now, there's no way of going back and checking these stories, but these are the stories that have been passed down for centuries. And Patrick was known as being confrontational in his evangelism. So he wasn't your nice, soft preacher. He was an in-your-face, go up to the corrupt Druid and preach the gospel. He's credited with baptizing 120,000 people and founding 300 churches. And just an amazing story. I actually put this together in a book and a DVD series. During this time, he continually feels inadequate because he had been kidnapped before he finished his education. And so when you're reading through his confession, you would see interspersed things like this. I had long had it in mind to write, but up to now I have hesitated. I was afraid lest I should fall under the judgment of men's tongues because I am not as well read as others. As a youth, nay, almost as a boy, not able to speak, I was taken captive. Hence today I blush in fear exceedingly to reveal my lack of education, for I am unable to tell my story to those versed in the art of concise writing in such a way, I mean, as my spirit and mind long to do. And so the sense of my words expresses what I feel. Another place he writes, I, Patrick, a sinner, very badly educated. Now, because he did not write in these deep theological terms, he would do things like use a three-leaf clover to teach the Trinity, right? These Druids are illiterate. They can't read anyway. And so he would say, okay, Father, Son, the Holy Ghost, three in one. And it actually helped him to be able to connect better with the people. One other thing of note is there was a British king named Caroticus who would capture Irish that Patrick had brought to faith and bring them to Britain as slaves. And so Patrick condemns him. His work is considered one of the first anti-slavery works, abolitionist works. And he said, you're selling the bride of Christ into a brothel, because these are Christians that Patrick had brought to Christian faith, and yet now they're being made slaves. And
let me go ahead and just interrupt, because I mean, this is absolutely fascinating stuff. There's one part that you said a few minutes ago that I just want to clarify a little bit, and it makes it sound like there are things that we know about St. Patrick. There are the things that were written about him that we might not know what, you know, and there's no way to verify that either way. But the rough outline, the fact that he bravely went in, you know, risking his life, and we know that prayer that he had about the breastplate of St. Patrick, it's certainly based on his type of teaching. He's asking for Christ to help him, give him strength, and keep him alive even so he can continue this mission. But then other details like the, you know, people raised from the dead and so forth, we don't necessarily know those details. So we have about 2 minutes left. What do you want to say especially in terms of, you know, what do we know for sure? Because what a legacy.
Right. So one of the stories is he was walking through a valley and a chieftain was laying in ambush with men to kill him. And all day long, all they saw go by was a deer. Yet the next day, Patrick's on the other side of the valley. And so his prayer is called the Deer's Cry or the Breastplate of Patrick. And it's, I bind into myself today the strong name of the Trinity by invocation of the same, 1, 3, and 1, 1 and 3. I bind this day to me forever the power of faith, Christ's incarnation, his baptism in the Jordan River, his death on the cross for my salvation, his bursting from the spice tomb, his riding up the heavenly way, his coming on the day of doom. I bind into myself today. And one of the pieces of this prayer, he says to be my guard against Satan's spells and wiles, against the false words of heresy, the knowledge that defiles the heart's idolatry, against the wizard's evil craft, against the death wound and the burning, the choking wave, the poison shaft. Protect me, Christ, till thy returning. Christ be with me, Christ within me, Christ behind me, Christ before me, Christ beside me, Christ to win me, Christ to comfort and restore me, Christ beneath me, Christ above me, Christ in quiet and in danger, in hearts of those that love me, in mouth of friend and stranger. I bind into myself today the strong name of the Trinity. I mean, just an amazing prayer, scriptural, and you definitely get the feeling that he is going into a dangerous, like walking into a drug neighborhood, just boldly proclaiming.
Wow.
Now, one of the interesting
things. We're out of time. But I thank you so much. AmericanMinute.com. We do have enough time for just the name again of the book.
It's St. Patrick, the real story of his amazing life from tragedy to triumph.
Okay. Bill Federer, always a pleasure. AmericanMinute.com.